time will come. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program A Time Will Come. We begin with a narration which expresses the excellence of sending blessings upon, salawat upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that as long as an individual recites salawat upon me, as long as he sends blessings upon me, angels continue to send mercy upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. We begin with a hadith mentioned in Bukhari, narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said that a time will come upon the people when a man will not care about where he earned his wealth from. Was it halal or haram? So this is a warning that describes the character trait of people towards the end of time. There will be such negligence and such disobedience that people will have absolutely no regard. People will not care about their source of income. They will have no concern about it being halal or haram. And the effects of this are seen in society. When an individual does not earn halal, if his earning is haram, then the effects of that haram are seen in him, in his family, in his behavior, in the conduct of his family. And our beloved Prophet ﷺ has warned us of this. Why would someone not care about whether his income is halal or haram? What would make him so careless in this regard? There are a few reasons for this. One reason is simply the fact that the continuous pressure that he is under from the members of his family, for example, his children, maybe his wife, maybe his parents, they want him to earn more. He can only earn what he can earn, and they are still pushing him. They keep mentioning their requests. A lot of the requests are not obligatory or are not things which are necessary or not necessities of life, but they keep pushing him and pushing him. He may begin by working harder even, or doing extra hours, or doing overtime. But even that's not enough for them because their requests keep increasing. That pressure keeps increasing. A time may come where he cracks. When I say he cracks, I mean that his morality cracks. His willingness to observe the laws of the Sharia, this is affected. And then he starts to look at other options which are not lawful for him. Then he starts to look at ways of attaining wealth which is haram for him. Because his only focus is that he has to fulfill the desires of family members who keep expressing them and putting him under this pressure. And the family members are none the wiser. They don't have any empathy. They don't have any real understanding or concern about the fact that our father or my husband or our son is working so hard. Maybe our requests are not realistic. Maybe we're putting him under pressure. No, they're not thinking this. They want more because these desires are insatiable. When one desire is fulfilled, another two desires replace that desire. These desires can never be fulfilled. And this is what me and you must understand, that when a person walks upon a path where he is trying to fulfill the insatiable and unrealistic desires of his family, then he may come to a point where his morality may crack. Before that happens, the man, the head of the household, the members of the family, all of them must resort to contentment. must have some patience, must embrace the fact and accept the fact that what they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for them. For if they don't do this, then not only do they destroy the future of the head of the household, not only are they leading that man to destruction, they are destroying the entire family. Some people don't care about where the wealth is coming from, or they may not even ask. When the son comes home, he takes a pile of cash and he puts it in front of his mother or father. They're not asking him, where is this money coming from? When a very young man who has barely finished his studies comes home with a car that's worth thousands of pounds, is there no one to question him about where he got this money from, or how did he attain this car? The reason is, when people reach a stage of seeking luxury, then morality does not come into the equation anymore. They will not ask where the money has come from. They will not ask where the car has come from. When a head of the household starts to bring more money than his usual wage, no one is asking the question. The wife is in a position to ask where this extra money is coming from, but if she is content with the money itself and she's able to spend this extra money, not asking about where it's coming from, this could lead to destruction for the man in the hereafter. Sayyidina Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi alayhi rahma, he mentions a very powerful narration about the Day of Judgment. And I want everyone, if you're doing other things and you're not fully focused, I want your full attention. I want you to listen to this account with your full attention. Put your mobile phones down, your iPads, or if you're playing with something, if you're focused on something else and you're half listening, no half listening, your full attention. If you listen to this narration that I will share with you, which you may have listened to partially in the past, or you may have listened to it fully in the past, I promise you, from the little that I have seen, many people, after reflecting upon this narration, have put their lives into perspective, have tried to make their lives better, and have increased concern for the Akhirah. Sayyidina Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi alayhi rahma, he narrates that on the Day of Judgment, a man will stand and his wife and children will complain in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about him. They will say to Allah, O our Lord, give us our rights, or take our rights from him, from this man. So the wife and children are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that their rights are taken from this man. Furthermore, they will say, he did not teach us, because the reason they give for this is, he did not teach us our matters of religion. So take our rights from him. He didn't teach us our matters of the religion. And he would feed us haram without us knowing. Then the angels will take him and they will punish him. How will they punish him? They will beat him so much that his flesh will begin to come off his bones. Then he will be brought to the scales for his good deeds and bad deeds to be weighed against each other. Angels will bring this man's good deeds, which will be the equivalent of a mountain of good deeds this man will have, which the angels will bring towards the scales. A family member, one of his children, or a family member will come forward and say, my weight or my good deeds are less, and they will take from his good deeds. Then another will come forward. He will take, or she will take. This way, all the family members who express their desire to take from his good deeds will take, until that man is left with nothing. All his good deeds, that mountain of good deeds, will be taken by all those relatives, one by one, taking their share until he is left with absolutely nothing. When all his good deeds are taken and he is left with nothing, the man will look at his family members with sadness, with regret, remorse. And then he will express something. He will say something like, now I only carry the burden of the sins, or I only carry the burden of the oppressions that I did because of you. The angels will then announce that this is the man, meaning the unfortunate man, whose good deeds were taken by his family members, and he went to hell because of them. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, a very powerful narration about how a man will lose everything on the Day of Judgment. The reasons given are mentioned in that narration, and I would just like to highlight or remind you of the reasons. Family members will express that this man did not fulfill their rights. He did not teach them matters of the religion. He made them consume haram without them knowing. So the three things from the narration that we learn: he did not fulfill their rights, he did not teach them their religious matters, and he fed them with haram without them knowing. I would just like to say, very quickly, focus on a couple of points related to these matters which will be raised by the family members on the Day of Judgment. Fulfilling rights is so important in Islam. The huquq of other people, the rights of other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive a person until the one who holds the right does not forgive that person. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one violates the right of another, Allah will not forgive that violation until the one who to whom the right belongs forgives that person. So if our neighbors, our family members, our parents, whoever has a right over us, if we have violated their rights, remember, you can ask for forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it's a sin, but to attain, to be exempt completely, or to be exonerated, you must go to that person, or that person in some way must forgive you. If you are not able to do that, you should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah somehow puts this thought into the mind of that individual, or this feeling comes into their heart that I forgive him or I forgive her, I forgive my right, and I remove this burden from this person. Because if we do not do this, if we have violated a right and we do not seek forgiveness from the person to whom the right belongs, it is likely, it may be the case that on the Day of Judgment, we are seized because of this, as you saw, or as you heard rather, in the account which I mentioned. Another point to keep in mind is the fact that the man did not teach them their religious matters. The family complained and they said, he didn't teach us about religion. Today we have people who have a level of understanding of Islam, but they don't go home and they don't teach their children, they don't teach their wives. They don't instruct their children from a young age to be praying. Even if they're not at a young age, they don't remind them to pray or ask them about their responsibility to pray. They don't remind them and encourage them to follow the Sharia. Remember, if you curse, your children curse. Generally, this is what happens. If you pray, your children will pray. If you read Quran, very likely your children will, if they don't read Quran as much, they will have an inclination to the Quran. They will value the Quran. Remember, your deeds, your actions, this is preaching within your home. So if you are very religious outside and you come home and you're a completely different person, do not expect your families to change. Do not expect to attain blessings in your home. So it's very important. One, we attain knowledge, especially knowledge which is compulsory upon us. And secondly, we teach those within our family who we are responsible for. We teach them about the matters of religion. So we are saved in the Akhirah. When our children, if we teach our children all the necessities of the religion, or we ensure that they are taught these things, then on the Day of Judgment, they can't complain in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is important to teach, to learn about the religion and to teach others religion. Remember, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to seek knowledge. He described himself as a mu'allim, as a teacher. We as Muslims, we should be actively seeking the knowledge of Islam. Sometimes people think, oh, I need to do a course or I need to complete a certain phase of study. Not necessarily. Little by little, just try to improve your understanding. Even when you watch some programs on Madani Channel, you may find that if you take a pen and paper or a book and you just make notes of important things, you'll pick up or remember some important Islamic principles, or at least some narrations which will encourage you to do good, or some narrations which may inspire you to seek the knowledge of Islam. But if you don't do anything and you just sit there, no one will come to help you. You have to help yourself. You have to take that step. And this is what a Muslim is like. A Muslim is not someone who is idle, always working, always striving to do good and improve himself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third element which was mentioned was the fact that the family of the man will complain that we were fed haram without us knowing. Let us consider what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Allah has clearly instructed the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Allah says, O you who believe, eat from the pure things which I have provided you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me and you to consume things which are pure, lawful, halal things. We should not go near anything which is haram. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions his hadiths, mentioned in Tabarani, he says that to seek a halal or lawful means of income, this is wajib, this is necessary upon a Muslim. So a Muslim should not be one who is looking for opportunities not to work. He is a person who is trying to find a means, a way of attaining a lawful income so that he may provide for his family. Another hadith mentioned by Imam Bayhaqi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that after the fara'id, after the compulsory actions to seek halal sustenance, this is also fard, this is also compulsory, this is also necessary. It is mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that if four qualities are found in an individual, then his shortcomings in this world will not cause a loss for him. What are those four qualities? To take care of anything that is entrusted, an amana. If something is entrusted to you, to take care of it. That's one quality. Second quality, speak the truth. Third quality, adopt good character or have good character. And the fourth quality, halal sustenance, lawful sustenance. So if these four things are found in an individual, then his mistakes in this world will not make him lose out. The indication is that through the blessings of these four actions, his sins and mistakes that he makes in dunya may be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he may attain salvation on the Day of Judgment. A hadith mentioned in Tabarani, the summary of the hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized to Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala, and he instructed him, he said to him, O Sa'ad, eat food which is halal, which is lawful. Your du'as, your supplications will be accepted. People complain today and they say, why aren't our supplications accepted? We've been praying for something permissible for such a long time. But they may not focus on the fact that their means of income, or it may even be a case of what they're eating, there is an element of haram in it, something unlawful about it, whether it's their income or whether it's what they put on their table. So halal sustenance is very important, is the key for acceptance of dua. And the hadith continues, obviously I said I'm summarizing, that when a person, when a man, he has a morsel of haram, the famous expression, some of you probably know what I'm going to say, when a man has a morsel of haram, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for 40 days his worship is not accepted. For 40 days his worship is not accepted. And we have people who are eating haram without even any care whatsoever. Such ignorance, that there will be people who think, na'uzu billah, Allah forbid, that by saying Bismillah, something which is unlawful becomes lawful for them. This is the level of ignorance that we're dealing with. And I'm not just saying that to make a point. I have witnessed this myself. I have witnessed people who have said without knowledge, obviously unknowingly, Muslims, they have said that we thought that if it's something which has not been slaughtered the Sharia way, if you recite Bismillah before eating it, it becomes halal. So how can we expect our supplications to be accepted? How can we expect to attain blessings from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the very food that we eat is haram? When what we put on the table for our children is unlawful, is haram? When our manner of earning, the income that we bring home, that is unlawful. And then we complain that our children have become disobedient, or they have no haya, they have no morality, they have no principles. We have compromised our principles, and then we complain about our family members not having principles. It is mentioned in Shu'bul Iman, Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he says that whosoever buys cloth worth 10 dirham, as you know, dirham is usually translated as or understood as a silver coin. So Ibn Umar is saying, if a man buys a piece of cloth worth for 10 dirhams, and one of those 10 dirhams is unlawful, that it's been attained from in an unlawful way, haram money. If that one dirham out of the 10 is haram, Sayyidina Ibn Umar, he says, as long as that cloth remains upon his body, as long as he is wearing that cloth, it's part of his clothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept his prayer. Then Ibn Umar, he placed his fingers in his ears and he said, if I did not hear this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, may these become deaf. So he emphasized this. 10 dirhams, you buy clothing, piece of cloth, one dirham is haram. That means that it still affects the whole thing in such a way, as long as you're wearing it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept a single prayer. This is what Ibn Umar is saying. And because it's such a powerful statement, he emphasized it by saying, if I didn't hear it from the Prophet, what he meant was, if I did not hear this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may I become deaf. So let us think about those people who may think, oh, most of my money is okay, it's halal. If I mix a bit of doubtful or haram wealth with it, it shouldn't be a problem. Such people should learn a lesson from this narration. Don't destroy the blessings of your wealth. Don't destroy the opportunity of acceptance of prayer because of haram. Even a little haram, even a little haram will destroy your blessings. Just as an example, without comparison, if someone has a glass of water and a drop of blood goes into it, you will not feel like drinking it. It will make the whole glass useless to you. When you bring even a little haram into your wealth, you are endangering the acceptance of all your worship, or the acceptance of the blessings that you could have attained through your halal wealth. So be careful, refrain from haram, strive in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for halal, and pray for barakah in your sustenance from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people decide to purchase items which have been stolen, and they may be aware, because it's common knowledge in that community, or there might be like a certain market, or a certain individual may be infamous, and it is said about him, or it is said about certain people, that the items that they have are stolen goods. Or it may be someone who looks suspicious, and sometimes he may even admit it, that I have these are goods which have been stolen, but I'll give it to you half price. Some people may think that if I buy an item which is stolen, I didn't steal it, I'm just buying something and paying for it, so I'm not stealing, so it should be okay for me. Some people may think this. For them especially, I would like to share this hadith, that whosoever purchases wealth which has been stolen, and he knows it has been stolen, then he is also part of the sin involved, or the sin affecting that wealth or that item. So if someone knows that a stolen item is being sold and he decides to buy, despite knowing that, he is also linked to the sin. He is not exempt. He is also sinful. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, so all those people who think they are getting a bargain and they're getting a good deal, this is not a good deal. You are giving your money which is halal and you're getting sin in return. So be aware of these things. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from haram, from unlawful things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase blessings in our halal sustenance. May we become and remain people who attain blessings from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by striving for a halal source of income, for halal sustenance, for lawful sustenance, and refraining from all things which are unlawful. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. A time will come, a time will come, a time will come, a time.